Felt like a good idea at the time, anyway. But 25 years ago, I was at Southampton University, and one of my closest friends was a man called Kevin Evely, who actually was from Ely in Cardiff. And one of the reasons I guess I've ended up in Cardiff was because of Kev. And one night in his room in his hall of residence, I found myself hiding in his wardrobe, as you do. You know, students, you know, cut me a bit of slack here. I was a student. Hiding in his wardrobe, not quite knowing why I was hiding in his wardrobe, thinking it'd be a bit of a fun. And then the one night ever that he did this, he decided to go to bed early. So he's got in bed, and I'm still hiding in his wardrobe. So I don't really know what to do, so I thought, I know what to do. I started meowing like a cat. And we had a friend who had a couple of cats. So Kev got out of bed, thought that there would be a cat somewhere in the room. So he's looking under the bed and everywhere, but the wardrobe. He doesn't look in the wardrobe. So he's put the lights off, gone back to bed, and I'm still stuck in his wardrobe. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So I'm going, Kevin Evely, can you hear me? Kevin Evely. And he's right, and he recognises my voice, so he's open the window, looking out. Where are you, James? Where are you? Where are you? He's stomping around, opens the door, up and down the corridor, can't find me. So I'm going, Kevin Evely, rattling the doors of the wardrobe, and eventually he finds me, and neither of us quite knew what to do, really. But I sort of said, hi, Kev, just doing something in your wardrobe. But I can't. The reason I tell you that is the Bible story that I want to focus on tonight. I'm talking about listening to God. And it's a story of a young man called Samuel and the incredible encounter that he has with God when he is in bed. Now, I have to say, God was not hiding in his wardrobe at the time, but it was that sort of dramatic intensity. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, turn to it. I'm going to read it for you now. I think I said this, we're talking tonight about listening to the voice of God. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had just gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Kevin Evely. Now he called out, Samuel, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, what do you need? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go on back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, he said, what do you need? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go on back to bed. Samuel, listen to this, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So now the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, he said, what do you need? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy, so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. If someone calls again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord came and called us before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, yes, your servant is listening. Let's leave it there. So here's the scene. Imagine that you're lying in bed, you're near the Ark of the Tabernacle. Imagine that you're just going off to sleep. So we'll say this is Samuel's bed. By remarkable coincidence, Samuel's bed looks very much like the duvet cover from my spare bed at home. So there you are, you're a young guy, you're working in the temple with Eli, and you're snuggling down for the night. And this is an important message because God often speaks to people when they're close to sleep. At least he does when I'm preaching. I'm supposed to laugh so loud at that one. So just imagine the scene. Just imagine. It said in the story that The word of the Lord was rare. Now that was an understatement, because for about 300 years there'd been no real visions or prophecies or personal words from God. And we hear that this young boy Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, I think he was a God-fearing man, a God-fearing young boy, but he'd never had a personal experience of God. If you like, the living, breathing, rhema word of God hadn't spoken out to him yet. And here it was this night. Can you imagine it? He's lying down, he's tucked up in this bed, and he must be just nodding off, and he hears a voice. It's God calling him, but he doesn't realize it. So he does the obvious thing. He goes to his master, to Eli. And it's not Eli. Three times that happens. I can't get back down again because I do my back in. But three times that happens, and he's tucked up in bed. Three times God calls out to him. And eventually, he twigs that it is God. That's an incredible story, isn't it? Samuel was probably about 12 years of age at that time, acting a bit as the ears and the eyes for the old man Eli, who actually had two sons himself. But those two sons, the Bible describes them as wicked. Now that's old-fashioned wicked, not modern wicked, not wicked cool. This was wicked, wicked. You know, they were bad, bad boys. But Samuel is there, working for Eli. And in the middle of the night, though, it wasn't Samuel's eyes that were confusing him, it was his ears. And I wonder if you've ever heard God call out to you so clearly that it is as if he were speaking to you directly. Have you ever had that incredible encounter? When you had it for the first time, what was it like? I can remember the very first time I believe God spoke to me as directly as that. And funnily enough, it was in bed. As a teenager, late one night, God calling out to me and saying that you're going to serve me for the rest of your days. And I just knew, I thought that meant becoming a vicar or a minister. I didn't think you could serve God for the rest of your days any other way. But I remember God speaking to me like that and a light coming on in my mind, in my bedroom. And then all the types of doubts coming afterwards. Was that really God? Was it just me making it up? Was that some interference on the radio? What was it? And all these doubts must have been going through Samuel's mind. And we're told, like I said earlier, that he did not know the Lord yet. Put yourself in that situation. What an incredible, intense experience it is. You know, doubters and cynics say that the Bible exaggerates, don't they? Now, as I read stories like that, I think most of the time the Bible understates the case. What an incredible experience that must have been for that young guy, for that young man. And the key verse at the end of it, where Samuel is able to say, "Yes, Lord, your servant is listening." That is a mighty thing to say to God. That's a mighty thing to say to God, that you're his servant. And more than that, you've got your ear open to what he wants to say to you. And really, that's my simple challenge to you tonight. Are you going to be in a position to say, "Yes, your servant is listening"? One of the incredible things about this story for me is that it reminds me that God calls Samuel by name. God calls people by name. I am terrible at names. I can be introduced to somebody and 30 seconds later, I can forget what their name is. If you're like that, it's a terrible thing to do, isn't it? But God's not like that. God knows everybody's name. And he knows Samuel's name and he calls Samuel by name. Imagine that the God, the almighty creator of the heavens and earth, knows you by name. And calling Samuel by name wasn't an isolated incident. All through Scripture, God calls Moses, Jeremiah, Martha, Mary, Zacchaeus, Simon, Lazarus, Saul. Time and again, we see that God calls people by name. I want to say to you tonight that whatever situation you're in, God knows your name. And he calls you by your name. Calls you by your name. Just hang on to that, because isn't that incredible? I might forget your name, I might get your name wrong, but God knows your name. And when he calls you by that name. That's the first thing, just some incredible encouragement for that, from that story. And God calls young people by name. See, Samuel was 12. And obviously important enough to God that God wanted to call out to him. So we haven't got a qualification period to go through. We haven't got to reach the age of 30 or 35 or 50 before God knows our name. God calls young people by name. So if you're a young person here tonight, don't feel disqualified by this. Feel included by this, even more so. Because God calls young people by name. And one of the great things about working in Ignite is we see it most weeks. We're reminded that God calls young people by name. An email that comes into the office, or a letter that we receive, or a phone call, or a conversation, where we see God speaking into young people's lives, and young people being bold enough to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Just like Samuel. God calls young people by name. But you know, there is a warning about names. Someone asked Jesus once if everyone will have eternal life and be part of God's family forever. And this is his answer. The door to heaven is narrow. Work hard to get into it, because many will try to enter. But when the head of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. Then you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Lord, open the door for us." But he will reply, "I do not know you." So if you're like Samuel tonight and you've had no direct experience of the living, breathing Word of God in your life, and you cannot honestly say that you're following Jesus, and tonight you need to do something about that. Because God knows your name, and there is a time when he's going to call you by name, and he doesn't want to get to that time and to have to say to you, "I do not know you." So let God call you by name tonight. And this story also reminds me that you can mistake God's voice for a human one. Three times Samuel thought it was the old man Eli calling out to him. And there's been times in my life, and perhaps with you, when you've heard God speak, and then the doubt set in. Hold on, was it really God? Or was it just a good idea from Pastor Chris? Was it really God, or was it just a great sentence that that man wrote in a book? Was it really God, or was it just a bit of friendly advice from that lady who was speaking to me? We can so easily mistake God's voice and not have the confidence that it's God speaking out to us. Might be because we don't believe we're important enough or significant enough for God to speak to us. Might be because other people... If you were here this morning, you heard Pastor Chris tell the story of C.T. Studd, that great cricketer, deciding to give up a fortune and a sporting career to be a missionary because he'd heard from God. But so many people around him were saying, "No, don't do it, don't do it. That's not right. That's not the right thing to do." But he'd heard from God. He listened to God's voice. God had spoken to him. And nobody or nothing would put him off the path that God had given him to walk. But sometimes it is easy to confuse God's voice for a human voice. Gary showed you that picture of that church in India. And one of the churches in India, when I was visiting it back in October, I'd had all my teaching notes for the pastor's seminars prepared, and I thought I'd take a real leap of faith. I thought that every village I spoke in, I wouldn't prepare a talk. I would go with my Bible and I would say to Lord, what do you want me to speak about tonight? Or this afternoon, and I'd seek God and I'd wait for him to speak, and I was speaking evangelistically, so it'd be, you know, John 3:16 or famous verses like that, obvious Bible stories. And then one time I felt God was saying to me as I was listening, speak about the kingdom of God is like treasure buried in a field, and a laborer comes and works all day and discovers this treasure, buries it again, goes off and buys the field. You know the story. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I can speak about that. And I had my Bible open, ready, and I was almost looking for other verses to speak about that I thought I could use a bit more easily and confidently. And two or three times I turned away from it, and I kept turning back because I knew God wanted me to speak about that. I looked out, and there was no men in the church at all. And I got up to speak, and just as I got up to speak, 15 men walked in and sat down. And I spoke about that passage. And at the end of it, the pastor from the local church, from that church, said to my friend who translated it for me, he said, "Did Nigel know that those 15 men were workers digging in the field? That's their job. Wow. They were digging holes in the field all day. And they came in just as he stood up to speak about a man digging a hole in a field." I'd love to tell you that those things happen to me all the time, but they don't, because I don't listen out enough. But I thought, was that really God's voice? Was it just me making up? Was it a good idea? And I guess the challenge for me is, how do we keep tuned in to God's voice? My favourite story is from Nashville in Tennessee, country music land. There's an old man who bought a radio, and he bought one of those old-fashioned dial radios, and he bought it. And when he bought it, he tuned it in to WSN Nashville. It's a country and western station. And he tuned it in, got it tuned in perfectly, and he broke the dial off, because he'd never wanted to tune it into anything else. That's the only station he wanted to listen to. When I first read that story, I thought, I'm tuning into so many different things in my life. And I wonder if I'm really listening to God enough. And I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm going to have to be a person that just now and again breaks the dial off so that I can listen to you and I can hear your voice. I'm not going to be one of those holier-than-thou people who says, "Hey, I've broken my dial off and all I do is listen to God all day long. Get real, you know what I'm like." But I am going to say, I need to listen to the Lord more and listen to his voice. And perhaps you're a person that tonight you're going to walk out of here and say, "You know what? Just now and again in my week, I'm going to need to break the dial off. I'm going to need to get rid of every other distraction. I'm just going to listen to the voice of God and see what he has to say to me." What if I handed out a piece of paper and a pen now? I'm not going to do that. But if I did, and in the secret you wrote down what you would love God most to say to you tonight, in the stillness and the quietness, if God was going to say, "Samuel, Samuel," to you, what would you want him to say? What would you want him to say? What are you desperate for right now in your life for God to speak into? The living, breathing Word of God. What would it be? And you know, we want to get to a place, don't we, that God just doesn't speak to us in the big occasions, the life-transforming events, although that they're crucial. But we want to learn to listen to God every day, don't we? In the daily humdrum. Not just on a Sunday night when it's all hallelujah, but on a Monday morning when it can be far from that. What does it mean to listen to the voice of God like that? I think we need some peace and quiet. I wonder, in that busy day that Samuel had looking after Eli and working in the temple, I wonder if there was any time that he was still enough and quiet enough to listen to God, apart from when he was tucked up in his bed. You know, some of the most incredible things God says to me are in that twilight period when I'm just dozing off to sleep, or in the morning when I'm just waking up. And God seems to have a habit of speaking to me in those times. And perhaps it's because they're some of the few times in my life when I'm truly quiet and truly rested. So there's a challenge for you. How are you going to break the dial off this week and give God a chance to speak into your life? You know, sometimes, just like Samuel, you're going to need somebody else to confirm to you that it's God speaking. Samuel needed the older and experienced Eli to say, "It's not indigestion. It's not even me shouting out. It's God speaking to you. It's the Lord speaking to you." And that's why I'm so passionate about younger people seeking wisdom from older people, and older people giving time into the lives of younger people, just so that now and again, an older, more experienced voice can say, "Yes, you're right, that is God. That's God speaking to you. Have the courage to follow that. You're listening to God, you're doing the right thing. God speaking into your life. Sometimes you need that older, experienced person. I remember one time when I was on a mission trip to Zimbabwe. It was not long after all the stuff had happened with the Toronto blessing and all that was going around the world. And we had a guy with us on our trip. And he said, I'd never met him before. I'd known him about 24 hours. And he said, would you like me to pray for you? And I said, yes, I would. And in this bedroom we were sharing with three single beds, three of us in this bedroom, he prayed. And the Spirit of God overcame me. And I fell down back on the bed. There's a lot of stories about me in bed tonight, isn't there? That's just the type of person I am, I'm afraid. And as he prayed with me, he said this, God is saying to you, you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove. And I'd always been one of those people who'd sort of felt like I had to sort of, you know, justify who I was and what I was doing and you know, tell everybody and everything like that. And God spoke those words through that man who'd only known me 24 hours. He says, you have nothing to prove. Wow, what an incredible encounter with God. I walked out of that room and a man was there who wasn't a Christian, a good friend of mine, and he said, what's happened to you? He said, you look like, his exact words, you look like the cat that's got the cream. Your face has changed completely from half an hour ago when you went in that room. What's been going on? And I said, well, somebody's just prayed with me and God was speaking to me. And you know, when God speaks to you that directly, your life will never be the same again. And Samuel's life was turned upside down. The situation in his country at that time was pretty bleak. Israel had been led by a series of leaders called judges. It was going badly wrong. In not too distant future, Samson was going to bring the time of the judges to an embarrassing end. And God began to use this young man, Samuel, in a key way in his country. He became, in effect, the first of the prophets. He became so, listen to this, he became so used to hearing the word of God that it was almost indistinguishable, God's voice and Samuel's voice. God would speak to Samuel, Samuel would speak on God's behalf, and people heard the voice of God. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you like to be like that? That God would speak to you so clearly and so distinctly that when you spoke on his behalf, people didn't hear your voice, but heard God's voice. How incredible would that be? And that's what happened to Samuel. And it all happened from a bed, where on a confused night, he wasn't even sure that it was God who was speaking to him. So take heart from that. I'll wrap up. Here's a couple of things I just want to leave you with as we move into a time of ministry. Is I wonder whether tonight you're willing to put yourself in a place where you're willing to let God speak to you. I wonder if you're willing to put yourself into a place where you're willing to let God speak to you. And here's another thought for you. If you feel like your life, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever, you feel like you're in bed and you're stuck in bed, then perhaps you just need a few words from God tonight to get you out of that bed. Say, wake up, O sleeper. And begin to move in a different direction with the passion and fire that God has for you. So I wonder what God's voice is for you today, tonight. You know, the message that God gave Samuel, first of all, was actually a very hard message. It was a message that he had to go back and tell Eli that Eli's family had dishonored God and were going to be punished. But that 12-year-old Samuel was faithful to that. Got a DVD I was going to show. I haven't got enough time to show it, but I'll tell you about it. A young man called Santosh, who I met in India, who was 15. His parents are Hindu. He organized the church to meet in his house. He's 15. He has 50 people every week meeting, worshipping, praying God in his house. His mum and dad are Hindus. They're happy for that to happen. In fact, they sit in and watch sometimes and join in. But this 15-year-old lad, because God spoke to him powerfully enough and he's had such an encounter with God, he's raised up a church with the help of a local pastor in his house. Isn't that incredible? So tonight, some of you need that radical word of God breathing into your life so that your life's going to be turned upside down and transformed. And you're going to wake from your spiritual sleep, like thousands of young people across this land are. And you're going to step out in the destiny and the calling that God has for you. And others, you just need reminding that God knows your name and he's whispering in your ear. I wonder if the band will come back. And perhaps as we sing together, I'm going to give you an opportunity, very simply, to use the front here as a listening place. It's going to be loud because the band are going to be playing. But actually, we're talking about a heart attitude and opening our spiritual ears to God. So tonight, if you need God just to whisper a few words into your life of encouragement, of direction, of vision, of comfort, a few words to rouse you from your slumber, then simply come down and kneel at the front here and say, "Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening." Some of you might be, God might be speaking to you about being part of our volunteer team or taking other steps of faith. Who knows what it is? Pray together for a moment and then the band will lead us. Father, we thank you so much that you are a living God who speaks living words into our lives. We worship you for that. And that story of Samuel reminds us that you call people by name. Lord Jesus, if we've never heard you whisper our name, would you do that tonight? Would you confirm that to us? That you know us, you love us, you care for us, you have plans and purposes for our life. And Lord, if we've ever been so busy that our dial has been going all over the place and we just aren't used to tuning into you, we say sorry for that right now. And tonight we want to make that different. We want to listen to you. Lord, if we need a word of confirmation, if we need a word of vision or of comfort, would you give us the confidence and the authority to come down to the front and to kneel down and offer ourselves to listen to you? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.